of the Living Geek.
All right, everybody, welcome to another blasphemous episode about Wit Outplay Outcast, a Survivor podcast. We're talking about the finale of Season 34, Game Changers. There are two episodes, but the first one, Episode 12, is called No Good Deed Goes Unpunished. It was a Brad line. This is the Night of the Living Geeks Network podcast. Go to notlg.com to check out other cool shows to support this show and the network as a whole. Go to patreon.com/notlg. Go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, all that kind of good stuff. Or if you subscribe, our website, witoutplayoutcast.com, give us a contact, whatever. You can follow me on Twitter at Jolly Andy. And Nick, where can people find you?
I am also on Twitter. You can just search for my name. That works too.
Just search basically for Nick on Twitter.
I'll tell you this much. Like a couple weeks ago, I was like, hey, we need to introduce ourselves. That's all I was saying. We don't need to give our Twitter handles every episode.
Yeah, but it's awkward to just say, hi, Nick, and then you just sit there and say, hello. Hi.
That's, I could do whatever. I'll fight you.
Okay.
We'll have plenty of time after this season's over to fight.
Yeah. We will have many messages back and forth talking about what we're going to do and figure this out definitely before we start recording for next season. We will totally
that's a
be
lie.
Prepared.
That's not going to happen. But anyway, from toe to tip, this was definitely a season.
So, let's congratulations to Officer Sarah on being sole survivor. Let's start off with that, right?
Yeah.
Well, what did you
that'll
guys
actually lead into? Well, congratulating Officer Sarah will lead me into one of the things that I was kind of displeased with in the season. I don't remember how many episodes ago. It was probably like 4 or 5 where I just said, so Sarah just won this thing, right? And now we're just kind of playing out the string.
It's been pretty clear from the edit for a while that Officer Sarah was definitely going to be the winner of this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, she definitely deserves it. I'm not trying to take anything away from her. She did a real good job. It's just, all right, the final three was her, Troyzan, and Brad. And I cannot think of three more bland people to actually see defend themselves at a tribal council. It was like trying to find three Honda Accords in a parking garage. They were just the most generic people I could think of.
See, but I'm not blaming that on the players. I'm going to blame that on the edit for the game. Because Troyzan got to final tribal council. And how many confessionals would you say he's had in the last 4 episodes? How much?
Not many.
How much screen time has there been on what Troyzan is doing?
Because he hasn't done anything.
But Brian's got it.
You guys are saying that because we're not being shown what he's doing. And people on the jury, Sierra especially, said that you were to Troyzan. You were part of conversations, and that you weren't like a Brad running around out there, but you were part of conversations and you influenced who got voted out when occasionally. And it's worth showing us.
That was what he said.
Yeah,
what he said was, you were in those conversations. He was like, yeah, I was given subtle.
And then Sierra backed him up, and Aubrey said, Troyzan, you need to own that because this isn't done yet. So they were willing to listen. I mean, he knew the writing on the wall, but they were willing to listen to him, and his fellow alliance members were willing to back him up if he made a claim in this open format. But
he evidently didn't. As I said, again, a couple episodes ago, he said something along the lines of, oh, you gotta get to 6. Oh, you gotta get to 7. Like, his entire game was predicated on the idea of, I'm just gonna fly under the radar and be the least defensive person. I'll get to the end, and then I'm gonna say stuff to save my ass. And he didn't do anything. Like, Brad is doing stuff.
You could also rephrase it as anybody but me. That is Sandra's mantra that won her twice, anybody but me. And he's saying, if I get to 6 and it's anybody but me, that's great.
No, the difference being, though...
There's also something to be said for the game that gets you to the end. It's how much Shelby won $1 million.
No, the difference...
Natalie. That's how Natalie won $1 million.
Sandra made moves. Like, she got Russell out. I wish I could say what she did in Pearl Islands.
I'm not trying to say that his game is like hers. I'm trying to say that the line that she uses is anybody but me that gets you to the end. And if nobody's saying your name, just let it not be you. You don't have to go out there and make waves in order to get to the end and be worth $1 million.
Okay, speaking of Sandra, based on what they were all saying about her, these people understand how this game works a lot less than I thought they did. Because earlier, Sarah says, like, Sandra won because she didn't piss everybody off. No, she won because she didn't piss anybody off, and she fucking manipulated everyone. Yeah. Not just because she didn't piss them off. And then later, during the tribal, Aubrey's like, so you're saying, like, anybody but me? Sarah, huh? And I'm like, what? Why are you saying that like it's a bad thing? It fucking won the game twice!
No, well, because, no, again, Sandra didn't, like, okay, her mantra was anyone but me, but she was making moves and manipulating people and doing things. She was doing more than just anyone but me. So,
I don't think either one of us are trying to say that these people played like Sandra. We're just trying to say that there's validity to the idea that it doesn't matter what you do so long as you get to the end.
No, it does matter what you do, because if you don't do anything like he didn't, then you get third place.
That might be true, but Troyzan now is objectively better at this game than all of the people he beat this season.
No, that's not... I thoroughly deny that. Getting to the end doesn't mean you're better than anyone.
I think that is the definition of this game. If you just don't get voted out, you get to the
better.
End.
It means you placed better. There's a significant difference. Yeah. You are no.
Yeah.
That's high school football coach level of logic there.
That's Bill Parcells, an NFL Hall of Fame head coach. I wouldn't call that
they
high school level.
No, that is not true. You can play a really good game and not come in first. That's what this whole season was predicated on. These were people who played really well in the past, and then, well, aside from JT and Sandra and, was it Tony? Did Tony also win?
Tony.
Yeah, aside from the three of them, nobody else, none of them won. And they were picked specifically for that reason. Like, these are people who played well in the past.
So, Russell played really well in the past. He was just a dick about it.
No, that's why he didn't play well.
But he did. He absolutely played. He absolutely, his first two seasons, absolutely was in complete control the entire time.
Well, he was in control of who got on the jury, and that was the problem. He didn't put anyone who liked him on the jury.
Well,
I mean, there's something to be said.
He didn't make good decisions, but all of his decisions went through.
Okay. All right, well, I'll give you that.
If we're gonna stick with the sports now, there's something to be said for the team that gets to the Super Bowl, even though they know they're going to get slaughtered by the opponent. If you're the San Diego Chargers, and you know you're going to play off against the Steve Young, amazing Hall of Fame, all-team 49ers, you go in there and you lose 49-15 or whatever that final score was. But you know what? Yeah. You fucking made it there. So I'm not saying Troyzan's one of the greatest ever, and I'm not saying that he deserves to be in the conversation with Sandra. I'm simply saying that he is objectively, statistically better than everyone else out there because he was playing to that day. He was on day 39 when the 17 other people on that season were not. So he played this game better than they did. And there's absolutely nothing in the edit of the show that shows you any justification for that, even a little bit. And I'm not saying that we need to see him, you know, go around and make moves and be Sander for 38 days. That's not the game he was playing. But I feel a little robbed if somebody gets to the final day and I don't remember when their last confessional was.
He didn't even say anything in his confessionals. Like, his big one was this one, where he was like, oh, wow, day 39, and he carves it into the tree, presumably lights a big old spliff, because he sounded completely stoned the rest of the episode. Says, but
did we just not see it? And I think in the past, I would have agreed with you, but there's so much of this season that we didn't see. Like when Michaela gets brought up. And then this one, Sarah was doing her winner's interview with Entertainment Weekly, and she says that at the end, she got Brad's trust and Troyzan's trust by exchanging personal items. And apparently she gave up, what was it in here? I gave Brad and Troyzan a bracelet I was wearing, and I was like, here, if I turn on you guys, throw this thing in the fire. This means the world to me. I wore it on my first season, blah, blah, blah. But if we're making this pact, it's only fair that you guys give me something. So she took Brad Culpepper's wedding ring and one of Troyzan's bracelets. And Troyzan's bracelets have personal meaning to him. And this scene would have been great to see, because then we know why Sarah opts not to go for the fire. I mean, I know there are strategy reasons why she doesn't go for the fire in the penultimate tribal. But this scene is something we should have seen. And there's so many times where we get blindsided by people getting voted out as viewers that the jury doesn't get blindsided. The tribe doesn't get blindsided. Like, they was like, oh, yeah, of course I was going to, person was going to, yeah, of course, yeah, Michaela. No, nobody reacted to Michaela getting voted out. But over here, I'm like, The fuck?
No, Andy, that was, they didn't skip out anything. Sarah specifically admitted when they got back to camp, she was like, I just did that to punish you, and she came up with it right then.
Yeah,
so we didn't miss anything.
Okay, bad example. But you guys, we have had this conversation earlier in the season.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say that this is like the greatest edit job they've ever done. So, but I am going to say, Troyzan is not a particularly impactful player. Like, he didn't do anything. And you have a point. There is an absence of evidence. The absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence. He didn't do anything. I guarantee you that if he had done anything, they would have put even the slightest scintilla of him in the last couple of episodes.
I don't have that faith anymore.
They knew you knew he wasn't going to win. That's why they didn't bother with it.
Well, Aubrey wasn't going to win. They gave her lines.
Not a whole lot the last couple of weeks.
Lines. That sounds like it was scripted. You know what I mean.
They didn't give her a whole lot of lines this last.
Here, let's have another sports analogy. I mean, you're saying it doesn't, getting to the end doesn't mean anything. Remember last year when the Sharks made it to the final? Everybody was so fucking proud of them. We knew goddamn well they weren't going to beat the Penguins.
Hang on. Mischaracterizing me. I'm not saying that it doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying it doesn't mean that Troy's end getting to the end is a... Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying Troyzan isn't necessarily a better player than Ceri or Aubrey or Sierra.
This season, I will definitely agree with you on Ceri.
This season, they played a better game.
And this season, I will agree with you that Ceri was a better player. And that is a big discussion that happened after this episode with Ceri getting voted out. Actually, voted out.
Yeah, that didn't count.
No, she I know. Been,
so I mean, idol Ragnarok.
So Ceri is the one to go with in your case there, Nick, because... Ceri didn't lose. Ceri was just fucked on the one week there. She was the only one that didn't have an idol. And a lot of people were worried about how these gimmicks would play out on the last couple tribal councils. And I think the shitstorm converged in the worst way.
We mentioned it. We said, you know, there's going to be two idols.
Three idols.
A guaranteed immunity and the immunity from the episode. That's five right there. Oh, my God, what's going to happen? We'll see. And we did.
Well, Sierra, we didn't think Ty was going to play both of them at once.
Yeah, that's true. I thought it would be a little bit different, but he did, which is good. That's the second time he played an idol on someone for someone's behalf.
This season,
Sorry, did he do it in the previous season? I don't think he did. In his previous season,
he's had like 1,000 of them at some point.
In Ty's previous season, he had one, and they counted on him to play it. And he chose not to, which was as strong as actually playing it.
You know what I was really hoping would happen is I wanted to see Sarah and Ty and Aubrey in the end. Because they're all from the same season.
Was Sarah in the same season as them?
No, Sarah wasn't.
Yeah, she was on the LeBron trip.
Nope.
And Sarah was not on that season.
Yeah, Sarah was on Cagayan, and the only folks who were in Kaorong were Ty, Aubrey, Debbie... I feel like there was a fourth one, though.
Caleb,
yeah. So there were... interesting, there were four from this season.
So, okay, we talked... We debated about Troyzan. We didn't mention his game, because there's... Whether or not he got a bad edit, there's not much to talk about, because we didn't see if anything happened. We can talk about Officer Sarah's game, but I feel like we've been talking for a couple weeks. I feel like the next logical topic is Brad here.
What the fuck happened? He used to be all right, and then all of a sudden this episode, he was a huge dick.
And I agree with you, and I wrote it in there that I turned on him completely, and I can't stand him, but I turned again during the reunion, because he realized, oh my god, I went insane, I am so sorry, and he sincerely apologized to Ty, which I thought was, you know, a good class act move, and he explained what was going through his mind and all that kind of stuff, and he said, you know, he made it right, his thing. And so now I'm like, okay, Brad...
I don't buy that shit, though.
I kind of do. You see that, you know, from time,
like,
to time.
I don't care how frustrated or hungry I was. I will never treat someone like that.
I don't know if you've ever been as hungry as these people.
Or have to deal
with the fatigue and paranoia that they've dealt with.
I don't care. I won't take it out on somebody else if I do.
Sure.
You say that. I mean, words of the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, you've never had to knock on wood.
Oh, my God. all right. Andy, count the number of times you have ever seen me angry.
I can't count the number of times that you've gone like a week without getting anything more than a bowl of rice.
You also sound a little bit angry right now. No, I know what you mean. But like, that's the thing is, I was very much the first half of this episode where he's bull rushing all over Ty, you know, and just telling him, "You give me one of your idols. You play one, and you give me one, and that's the only way I'm going to trust you." And then he gets all mad that Ty didn't do that. And more importantly, when Troyzan says, "Would you have kept him?" and he says, "No," it's like, "Well, then why are you angry?" And you know, admittedly, he said to like he seemed to be cool about it afterwards. He was like, "Yeah, that was kind of dick. I'm super sorry." All right, cool. I'll give you the pass.
I think Brad correctly identified Ty as another big threat to his chance of victory. I mean, at this point, coming into this episode, Brad did not have a road to victory. I don't think he did legitimately. Because if he brings Sarah, he loses. If he brings Ty, sure, they did the whole what-if situation.
I don't believe that.
I believe Ty would have won. I think Ty is not very articulate, but Ty got there. The last couple tribals when he says, like, when he called Brad, I was like, "Fuck you, man. I stand up for myself. Nobody tells me what the fuck to do." And he said stuff like that in tribal, and that's great, because that's what Ty doesn't do. Ty does a lot of, "Oh, I don't know," wrings his hand, waffles back and forth, and then ultimately decides to do whatever the fuck he wants. So him growing that spine in front of the jury in the last couple tribals, I think that's the reason he's gone. And not Sarah. Because Brad looks at that and says, "Oh, he might actually be able to have an articulate sentence. That ain't going to work."
Also, look at the people who were on the final, or who were in the jury. You had Zeke and Aubrey would have definitely voted for Ty because he played, essentially the way this season here broke down between Sarah and Brad, is it was a conflict between, do we reward the strong player who physically dominated his way to the end, or do we reward the smart, cunning player who made moves to get her way to the end? And I feel like it would have basically wound up, unless, you know, you always have to credit that there's a possibility that Ty may have just fumbled it at the 1 yard line. But assuming he didn't have like some catastrophic blowout during tribal council, I think he would have basically made the same argument that Sarah made, which was really well put together when Ozzy was saying how Brad had won 5 challenges, and that's really hard because I've done it and I know what it's like, bloody, 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 blah. Yeah, Ozzy's kind of a tool. I like him a little bit more now, but we can get into that later. Anyway, you know, so he said his spiel, and then Sarah's counter was, "Yeah, he won 5, and that's good, because he's a professional athlete, and he was using his skill set to get ahead. But I'm not a professional athlete. I had to use a different set of skills, so I used my social game to get folks to do what I wanted them to do and to get out the people who were threats to me. And that may not be as big and flashy, physically speaking, but that has the exact same weight overall."
That made me so happy when she said that, because that was exactly what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, he's a professional athlete. Of course he won all these physical challenges.
Yeah.
You guys stupid.
And
it's like, hey, you know what? Winning, well, we found that with this group, as we had been saying for a long time, we found that being social and trying to fly under the radar, that's going to get you third place. Being strong but disliked, that's going to get you second place. And then first place is gonna have to be smart gameplay and being cool.
See, I don't know that I agree with you there.
Not necessarily interesting.
Because I think Brad was going for the people liking me vote. Because up until he was bullying Ty, he had a pretty good reputation out there for being a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
For being nice to people and trying to have genuine connections. He had that reputation out there. And so I think the reason he wanted to get rid of Ty is because he correctly saw, if that's my argument to the jury, Ty beats me, because Ty is nicer. And sure, Ty waffles back and forth and doesn't do what he's supposed to, but if I want to go for the nice guy vote, I'm not going to beat Ty. So he was banking on people being pissed at Officer Sarah and her backstabbing, and instead voting. He was voting for more people.
That's not why he voted out Ty.
No, no. He wanted more people to be like Debbie. He thought bringing Sarah Man, people would Debbie just be like, fuck you, lady, the one who got me out. That's like just the vindictive, or what did Mikhail say, bitter Bettys. He was hoping for more bitter Bettys. The problem is,
Kayla, Officer... I love her so much.
Officer Sarah made the perfect point when she's like, this is not me. And when she's able to point to her experience as an undercover cop and say, those relationships that I built with you were genuine, and then I had to stab you in the back. And I can disconnect those two. And I'm sorry if you can't, but you have to understand that I genuinely like you, and I genuinely built those relationships with you, but I also want $1 million. And I think that's an argument most of the other people there couldn't make.
Side note, do you think she's still going to be an undercover cop?
No, I'm sure she couldn't do it anymore after the first time she was on.
I was going to say, it's like, that was like only 5 years ago or so that she was in, but it's like, I don't think you can be undercover anymore. Someone's be like, hey, don't I recognize you somewhere? No.
I didn't get Ozzy's argument in favor of Brad, like, oh, you won immunity so many times. And when you say, if you hadn't won immunity, you probably wouldn't be sitting there. I'm like, that's a bad argument. If you have to win immunity 3 weeks in a row in order to have a shot at getting to Final Tribal, that means that you're in a really bad position in that game.
No, well, okay, you're right. Ozzy's point was kind of dumb, but I'll play devil's advocate and try and make the point for him, which is to say, it's outwit, outplay, outlast. I was about to say outcast, so wait, no, that's us. Winning immunity repeatedly and dominating in challenges, that's doing two of those things right there. That's outplaying and outlasting people. So, I mean, you could make an argument along those lines, and now he didn't. You know, Ozzy was kind of full of himself when he was doing that. But I could see what he was going for. He just failed to execute on that.
I totally give props to when you win the challenge. If you're not a challenge beast and you win the one that you need to, the idea that above and beyond, like, I win now or I'm gone, and you dig deep and you fucking get it. I will give all the props in the world, and that deserves credit in this game if you win that immunity challenge. But if you're in a position where you have to win out 4 weeks in a row or some crazy ass bullshit, I'm sorry, that's not a plus. And Ozzy wants to turn that as a plus, but there's no way in hell that it is.
Right? That's why that offends me. Like, that neither of the other two think to say something like, so you're saying he's better because we couldn't possibly vote him out?
Yeah,
it's like we didn't have a choice. Because when was the last time he didn't win immunity?
The last one before this episode.
Who won that? It wasn't Andrea. Aubrey? Oh, yeah. Oh, my librarian. Wow. Man, they really should have gotten him out then. You want to talk about game changers? That would have been a complete game changer.
I mean, there's a number of missed opportunities out here.
Yeah.
Well, that was the one that Ciri fucked everything up, so that was why.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Well, God, even then, they weren't going for her. They were gunning for Sarah. Nope, I'm sorry. They were gunning
for Ty.
Well, they were gunning for Sarah. That was the whole point. She was totally going to be voted out if she didn't do the everybody talk to each other shit.
I'm having a hard time remembering. You are probably right, though. Let's see, what else should we get into? I will say that I really liked the challenges this time around. What?
I thought we were going to stay on Final Tribal. Sorry, ignore me.
Oh, sorry. Well, we'll just back up for a moment because I wanted to give a special props. I hate saying that, especially because I will literally be talking about props. But whatever. I wanted to congratulate the folks who made that... not the final one, not the final immunity challenge, which was building the lighthouse, because we've seen that before, but the one before that,
the
ball one. The compass was also pretty neat, although I noticed at least Aubrey had two pieces that were black, which didn't make any sense to me, but whatever. No, the ball one looks so fun. I want to go do that right now.
But that's not the first time they've done that.
Was it?
No. But, you know. But still.
Well, regardless.
It still does look awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the first time I've seen it, and so, yeah, I really enjoyed that. But, yeah, okay. Cool. Now we can go back to the Final Tribal Council, which is the main deal.
What did you guys think of the open format?
That was good. That was actually, you know, usually they change something. What was the point of it? You know why this is good? Because normally, when you go first, if somebody says something, you're like, oh, I want to respond to that. Well, you're SOL. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I enjoyed it a lot because it was an actual conversation between folks, and so it was a lot more of an actual jury, well, that's not how courts work. I was going to say it was a jury cross-examination. It's like, no, that's not a thing. But, no, I really liked it because whenever they do the normal way, right, where they have people go up one at a time, say their piece, maybe there's a response, maybe there isn't, you always have one person who blows it out of the water and does such a great job. And so you want to see more of them. And then there's a whole bunch of people who just like, why did you vote out this person and not that person? Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air. And it's just not fun or interesting. This, we got plenty of fun and interesting people saying things repeatedly over and over and over. Like, Michaela was fantastic. Aubrey's reactions to everything was fantastic.
Yeah, and I think...
fantastic. Suri was pretty good.
The difficulty with this format, though, is that sometimes some people will be quiet and won't be as willing to jump up.
Well, that's why Jeff calls on him.
Exactly, Jeff calls him out. I think the only danger here is that it turns into, like, the final tribal needs to be about the jury and their interactions with the contestants. And it needs to be almost purely that. And there's danger going down this route, maybe even further, if Jeff does more facilitating and more injection and more like guiding the conversation. I think this is a great format so long as the jury has control of where the conversation goes. I like the idea of like, here's the 3 points. We're just going to go 1, 2, 3. But after that, I want no input from Jeff. I want a jury and contestants.
I don't know. I feel like Jeff had just the right amount of prompting in this one.
Yeah.
He didn't feed people answers. He just like, look, Haley, you haven't said anything, so I'm going to ask you a question directly. That sort of thing. I enjoyed that. And so, I don't know. As I said, I like this. I think it's a solution. It's a solution in search of a problem. That's something else. It is a solution to a problem of, I really want to see this person, or like, if a survivor, if a contestant has been doing a really good job, like they got screwed over somehow, like Michaela did this. That's a bad example because she didn't get screwed over. She took it the way it was intended, huh? Who got screwed this time? Sierra.
Oh, yeah, she took it right.
Ugh, hate you. Sierra, she got screwed over a couple of times, especially when she got voted out. And so she was able to have a larger input in this than she would have if it was just, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to say, hey, look, I'm going to carry water for you, Sarah, because you made some interesting decisions. All right, here's some dumb question. No, I like this a lot.
Well, it's good, I think, because some of these conversations kind of happen like this in Ponderosa, and you only really are privy to them if you go search for those videos. Yeah. And likewise, then these people don't get to ask those questions of the contestants. They only get to talk about it among fellow jury members. So when they're trying to figure out what exactly Sarah did and how she did it, they might not have the whole picture, especially if the people she's dooming with are other people who are still in the game.
Yeah.
So this way they can sort that out amongst themselves at Ponderosa and then bring that conversation to the actual show at Final Tribal. I really like that about it because that's the best part of watching Ponderosa is seeing them figure out who's doing what where and whether or not they think it's going to work for them or not.
I don't know. Personally, I like the part where we get to see them all cleaned up.
Oh, yeah, like Michaela.
Speaking of that, is it just me? I know she is really young, but Michaela looks like a baby when she's all dolled up.
Yeah, she's like 19 or 20, right?
Have to be older than that. She's like 22, I think. But still, she looks like she's like 15.
Brad, speaking of how folks look, Brad really looks like
mustache, man.
Yeah, that mustache is not a flattering mustache, my dude. He looks like a skinny Milton from Office Space.
You know what's hilarious? He has that mustache during the episode, and then during the after-show interviews and stuff on the red carpet area, it's gone. Sometime in between filming and leaving set, he shaved it off.
He must have seen himself in a monitor and just go like, oh, no, sir. No, thank you.
Or he didn't. Bad. Or he didn't talk to his wife too much about what it's going to look like. And his wife was like, no, nobody. Which, by the way,
it was a stick-on.
I want to bring up, more than once this season, Brad said his mantra was, what would Monica do? And he succeeded that utterly. Monica, on her first season, was out on day 14. On our second season, was the runner-up. Brad was out day 14 on his first season, and on his second season, was the runner-up. So he finished exactly the way Monica did both times he played.
Wow!
What? That's an awesome coincidence! You don't think that's neat?
I am agog. I am aghast.
I like coincidences like that. I like coincidences like that. So there.
Alright, that's sure. No, alright, that's fair. That's pretty interesting, but it's like that whole, you know, it's like Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln, and Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy. It's, who cares?
I do, Dick.
Thank you, Brian. I love you too.
Yeah. Alright, what else we got?
I don't like Troy's end giving up.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, well, you're not talking to me. I lost, so thanks for playing, guys. Bye.
At the same time,
fucking say something then, if you know you're on the bottom.
I don't know. I agree with you in theory, very much so. You got to fight and do whatever, but at the same time, dude did nothing this entire season, so just kind of rolling over and showing his belly is base is pretty well in line with what he was doing the rest of the season. He got Becky'd. Except, no, I take that back, because Becky actually did stuff in her season. Troy Sam was just like, it's not me. Alright, dudes, it should be this person. Oh, you're gonna go with them instead? Okay, I'll go with you guys.
Okay.
What were we talking about, Ty?
I was talking about Troy Sam. Because Brian was saying how he didn't like that Troy Sam just gave up, and I was saying
that's basically
in line with his whole mantra.
It was really cringeworthy. It is disrespectful for the integrity of the game to just give up. I don't know. I just thought it was crazy. Can we circle back around to Ty for a second?
Sure.
I want to bring it up because I think it's a nuance again of Sarah's gameplay. So Ty uses one idol for himself and then uses his second idol to save Aubrey, and then turns around the very next tribal and is part of the vote to get Aubrey out because Sarah manipulates him. And I'm wondering, like, is that Ty's big problem? Is that he is unsure? He doesn't plan out more than a week or two? They just kind of... He's really, really good at feeling the game. And he's really, really good at feeling where people are. But does he think about how it's going to feel two tribals from now? And I don't know that he does. Because maybe you save Ceri there and everything changes for Ty. Because why burn an idol and then vote the person you saved 2 days later?
He didn't think it through very well.
See, okay, here's where I've kind of finally come to the decision on Ty with. He's good at making a move and making a decision, but maybe he just wasn't in the position to do this, but he couldn't exploit it. Like, he saved Aubrey that one day, but he just wasn't able to save her again a second time. And it's just like, you know what, again, as long as it's not me. And he's not very good at explaining his moves either, and that could be a language barrier thing. He could just say, you know what, it's a game, and I made a game decision, and unfortunately it didn't work out, and I'm sorry, because his plans have also fallen apart quite a few times.
Huh.
But yeah, I mean, so maybe there's some language barrier there also, but more importantly, even when he makes a good move, he's not able to exploit it and carry it through to the end. But I'll also say, he's the victim of a double standard. And again, maybe there's a language barrier, but multiple times he has made game moves and people have been like, why didn't he just let me do what I wanted to do? It's like, he's trying to win the game, alright?
Right. Let me explain what he did with Aubrey. He saved Aubrey not for the sake of saving Aubrey. He saved Aubrey for the sake of go fuck yourself, Brad. That was why he did that. He knew goddamn well Brad was voting for her, and he's like, you don't fucking talk to me like that, you asshole.
Yeah. And that also sends the message to the jury of like, look, I'm not Brad's cat's paw. I am my own player in this game. I make decisions on my own.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get that. But what Andy is saying is he could have played it on Ceri and saved her, and then Aubrey would have been gone, and Nick would have been sad.
Well, yeah, but he didn't know everyone was going to play their idol. Ceri wasn't going to get any votes. That would have been
pointless. My God. Mm-hmm. How amazing was that?
To the editor's credit, we did see Ty and Troyzen having that conversation earlier of, so what did you think about idols this year? I haven't seen one in a while. So you could say Ty didn't think Troyzen would have one. Ty might have thought he had the only two out there. But I do agree with you, Nick, when you talk about like the double standard, especially how it's perceived. I feel like Ty is perceived as, oh, it's just cute little lovable Ty, you know, and they don't take him seriously. Like, in Cal Wrong, he rang the bell over and over, we need to get Michelle out because she's a threat. And I was like, Michelle? She's just sitting over there doing fuck all nothing. And then Michelle wins. And this season, he's again, he, for a couple times after the merge, was ringing the bell, like, guys, we need to get Sarah out. Sarah is doing neat things over there, and nobody seems to notice it but me. And lo and behold, it was like, Sarah, it's fine. And now she wins. I do think is, I don't know if it's language necessarily that he's not able to convince them. I think it's more just the perception that, oh, it's just cute little fun tie that people don't take him seriously. Cute, lovable little guy who wants to save the chickens, and they see that, and they don't see the smart person.
No, I don't know. It's something along, it's one of those two, and unless we ask people, we'll never find out, but if we ask people, they're going to say, oh, no, there's no double standard. So, we'll never know.
He needs to
like, how many licks it's going to take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, the world may never find out. I think, okay, so, Brian, you were saying it sucks when people give up, and you're right, but I feel like the best way of doing it is the way Sandra did. Like, she went into the season not thinking she could win, because who's going to win three times in a row? She played the hell out of it, though, and then when she got voted out, she's like, all right, cool, well, I didn't think I was going to win anyway, I just wanted to go as far as I could. And then she's called herself.
Well, that wasn't giving up. That was, like, that was graceful losing. That's not giving up.
No. No, right. She didn't give up, but she knew going into this she wasn't going to win. And I enjoyed the way that she played. Cause she's like, if I'm not going to win, I'm going to just have a hell of a lot of fun out there. And she did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She kept playing, even though she knew she wasn't going to win. Troy's
having a good time. She's having a good time. Yeah, but I mean, it's one thing to know from day one that you're not going to win. It's another thing to find out, like, halfway through the final tribal council with the jury interviewing you, oh, they didn't like my gameplay at all.
Like, he didn't pick up on it when Jeff was asking everybody, like, who do you think you can beat? No one. And all the jury was like,
yeah. I'm trying to remember if that was that last week?
No, that was this episode.
That was this episode. Yeah, I don't know. Point being, though, I don't think I think he was a victim of his own self-delusion. Like, Troyzan, I don't think realized how far behind he was. I thought he could make people respect the fact that he went under the radar. And when he realized, oh, no. I think that's when he was just like, well, I played myself. Goodbye. You know what we learned? What we learned in the reunion episode that's endlessly fascinating to me is that in the event of a tie, the person who didn't get any votes or I guess we got the fewest votes, they would determine who won. That is hella cool.
Yeah.
It's extremely unlikely it'll ever happen.
It's been 34 seasons and here we are.
Well, we haven't. The first time we had a three-person.
Oh, yeah, it used to not be possible for a tie.
Yeah. Jeez, when was the first time we had a three-person? Oh, it was Cook Islands, that's right. That's why it was such a big-ass surprise. Yeah. What else came out of that that reunion episode? Not a whole lot.
Varner's still the piece of shit.
Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about Varner. Like, he started off fine, and then he's like, let me shill for my real estate company, and let me mention my book. And it's just like, come on, man. We were just starting to warm up to you, and now you're like, I didn't like that. That was poor taste. I don't think he's human garbage or anything, but at the same time, it's like, that's a guy who needs some work.
Aubrey calls
it. I was to say, what we learned at the reunion was that apparently they cut out a lot of Jeff telling Brad to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Jeff seems to be herding cats, especially when he's trying to explain to like Troy's that, no, in this scenario, you're on the jury, okay? Or trying to explain to Brad, no, we are going to do this because it's fun, all right? Don't worry, it's fine. I know you don't want to live in the hypothetical, but we're going to do it, okay? Like, yeah, he has to herd cats throughout the entire thing.
Yeah. Well, right. Do we want to get on to fantasy?
Yeah, let's do fantasy, and then we'll do a retrospective and a tiny bit of a look forward, because it's not like we have much else to talk about with the next season.
Yeah, so let's see. Brian, you came into this episode in first, which is amazing, with 99 points, but you only had Brad and Suri, and Suri went out first. So Suri got you 0 points, but Brad is a fucking monster. and got an immunity win for you all three instances this episode, plus he got you a reward and survived all three of the tribals that he went to get to final tribal. So Brad, on his lonesome, got you 11 fucking points. because he's a monster. So it's 11 on your 99, giving you 110. I came in second with 84. I had 14 because I had Ty, who had an immunity played for him and survived twice. So I got 11 from Sarah, 6 from what she did during the episode, and 5 for winning the whole shebang. So that adds 14 onto my 84, giving me 98. And Nick, I'm sorry, you had Aubrey and Troyzan coming into this. You had 78 points. You only added 8 because Troyzan got a reward, and he got an idol played for him. So that was worth quite a bit. But aside from that, he just survived. And Aubrey, you know, Aubrey got a thing, and I got a thing played for and survived only one travel. So adding 8 onto your 78 gives you 86.
Here's an interesting thing if you want to talk about weird, not even coincidences. I had Troyzan from the beginning. Brian had Brad from the beginning. You had Ty from the beginning. We all had one person from start to finish. And look at the difference of level, right?
I had Troyzan. Have Ty from the beginning. I had Zeke, JT, and Michaela. I remember at the end, I was convinced that you were going to take Ty.
Screw you with your facts. And then in that case, I'll just say, look how many points Brian got from Brad, and then compare that to how many points I got from Troyzan. You would imagine that having the same person from start to finish would do you pretty well. Not so much in my case.
Yeah, I mean, that was your drafting strategy, was pick people that go to the end. Because you picked Sierra, saying Sierra last time just sat on your bench and got you a whole bunch of points and didn't really do much else. So you did that again.
That was not a bad strategy, just a bad execution of a good strategy.
Yeah. So this is our fifth time playing, and Brian gets a decisive victory, winning 110 to 98 to 86. So congratulations. Finally. Fifth time's the charm, Brian. Not only is this the first season you didn't come in last, you won.
And I was in first the entire time.
Yeah, you... Well, no. Wait, didn't
there was there was 1 week I was beating you. Like week three.
I thought I was like first place the very, very first week, but whatever. It's not important.
I'm
going to get first pick.
That's right. Are you going to get all the heroes, all the healers, or all the hustlers?
That is the stupidest fucking gimmick ever.
Okay, am I the only who, when they said hustlers, I didn't think like hustling on a field. I thought it was like rustlers.
I thought it was con men as well.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay. Also, is his name Ryan? I think his name is Ryan. The guy who says, I love turtlenecks, I don't drink, and I don't have a girlfriend. Who wants to make an alliance with me? I'm like, Ryan, you're my spirit animal.
I was like, that is Nick's Ryan 1 pick 1 right there.
No, I want somebody who's going to win in this game. I'm going to take a look at all of them. But regardless, I mean, and he's a bellhop. Who's a bellhop in this day and age?
People who are bellhops.
All I know is that ostensibly this is not taking place in Fiji, it's taking place on Hogwarts with a Chiron like that.
It's such a stupid... Like, the how they pick them is going to have absolutely no effect on the game whatsoever.
Yeah, pretty much. No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, it always doesn't, but there's not even anything they can, like... You know, like, they're not going to pull, like the no-caller thing. Well, I'm no-caller. So none of them's going to be like, well, I'm a healer, so I'm going to act like this. Like, come on.
I'm a hustler. I'm going to run everywhere I go.
Hero strong.
Yeah. Also,
hustler tribe.
It's Fiji again. Like, okay, don't get me wrong. Fiji is a beautiful place, but it's like, all right, this is like the fourth season they've done in Fiji, and the third one in a row.
Fourth? So this is like the 20th season they've done in Fiji.
Is it really? Because I know they did the last
three. I'm exaggerating, obviously.
They did the last three, and then, well, I don't know how many they, I knew you were exaggerating.
Okay, but
I know they did the last three, and then they did the first Fiji one. That was the one with Yao Man.
The last time I can remember the setting ever mattering was Cambodia, and even then it only mattered because of the rewards had a much more interesting texture to them. Like, they went to the ruins of this one, and then the other one they went to a thing where they helped kids out. Yeah, China, but I think so rarely does the setting actually matter. If they have a gimmick, then fine.
The setting doesn't ever matter. They're always on a beach in a jungle. It doesn't matter what country it is.
I think it matters. Not for the gameplay.
The only time that it was different.
Maybe not for gameplay, but from a viewer's perspective. We get to see them go on rewards, different areas, see different parts of the world, kind of not necessarily live vicariously, but see
something. All we see is trees and islands. It doesn't make any difference to us.
Right, when they go on a reward and go into ruins in wherever the hell in Cambodia. It's a little, at least you get to see something, you know. Not that Fiji isn't beautiful, but it's something different.
Well, the thing is, you know, when you've done the same location three times in a row, you run out of places to send them that are, you know, when you go to Cambodia and it's like, hey, we're going to send you to Angkor Wat, or we're going to send you to this village and you're going to give people things. You can do that, because the next season you're going to go to Pearl Islands or Philippines or China or Brazilian Highlands or wherever, or Minnesota. But when you're Fiji, also, because Fiji's kind of a small place, it's like you just sort of, and most of it is built up tourist resort, you run out of things to do there for experiences.
Yeah.
So
And on the production side, it makes perfect sense, right? This show's long in the tooth. Viewership has been going down. It's steady, but it's nowhere near what it once was. And to do a new location is expensive, because at the very least you have to scout out where you're going to do all this stuff. Like, where are you going to do Ponderosa? Somebody has to go find all these places to do all this stuff. Maybe Ponderosa's like, they've been here a while. I'm sure they've cut deals. Everything's established. It's not just comfortable and familiar, but it's a much more well-oiled machine. It's better for the business of Survivor, even if not necessarily as fun to watch as a viewer.
Yeah. I mean, that's my thing. It's just give me something new. I mean, I'm not saying send them to Cambodia. Send them to Siberia or whatever. But just give me something like Gabon, which is an interesting change of pace.
Because you get to say bone a lot. Hey.
Or Australia. Or where else could they go? India? Well, no, there's not a whole lot of space in India that you could use.
See, but that's what I want them to do. I want them to go to a different environment. It's always beach, jungle. I want them to go to someplace cold this time or something.
But I think CBS would tell you go watch Amazing Race.
I also think cold is not really an option for safety reasons. Like,
it's easier to freeze to death than it is to sweat to death.
Well, I mean, I don't mean like a place that's like fucking frozen. I'm talking about a place where like it's not hotter than hell the whole time of the day.
Okay, no, I see what you're saying. So something like Southern Italy.
Sure. I don't know what the weather is.
Survivor, Malta.
But it's going to have to act, well, you couldn't, Malta would be great, but you couldn't do it because it's all built up.
Yeah, no, I know, I'm just
there's no free space on Malta. But like something like, well, I was going to say San Helena or whatever, but I mean, that's just like a barren rock. There's nothing to grow and nobody lives out there. So, I mean, yeah, alright, maybe I'm being a little nitpicky. I don't know, just give me something new. A change of pace.
Yeah.
Some variety. And by something new, I don't mean healers and heroes and hustlers. Come on, dude. Triple H.
I don't know. The game. I don't know that they need a gimmick like this. Like, at this point, I don't know how many new viewers they're getting based on the title of the season.
They're trying to go for the WoW crowd now.
None.
You know, I mean, no. In my defense,
LFG looking to happen.
In Survivor's defense, when I go through these websites and stuff, I do read a lot of people who said their first time watching was Millennials versus Gen X. That season, and I'm sure the opening commercials for it did a good job of pulling in new viewers. But this one, no, especially not a returning player season. And heroes, hustlers, and healers, nobody's gonna read that on a TV guide and go, I think this is the season I will finally give Survivor a try.
I legit cannot even say the name without giggling, and I can barely hear it without giggling.
Right, but like nobody's going to start watching this season because of the name, and I think that's what makes people upset, because you don't need the gimmick; it doesn't bring in extra viewers. All it does is set things up awkwardly.
Yeah,
well, the gimmick has never actually made any difference ever.
No, but sometimes the gimmick brings people in, like Brains, Beauty, and Bronze. Some people. Yeah. Think that's a neat gimmick, so maybe that's the season they tried Survivor the first time. You know, Millennials versus Gen X, Millennials versus Gen X never mattered for the gameplay, really. I mean,
especially because there wasn't a big enough age gap.
Yeah, but like,
you know, one year between some of them.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, that gimmick brought people in because some of the commercials were kind of incendiary with, oh god, what was the asshole's name that got voted off like second or third? The
Paul.
Yeah. Some of the crap he was saying, like, yeah, that gets people to watch. It really does. So sometimes the gimmick matters for the longevity of the show, if not for the actual gameplay within each season. Anyway, We done with this episode?
Well, I thought we were going to do a little bit of a retrospective on this season, but yeah, I guess we're good. We got what we wanted. This was a good season overall. I enjoyed it, but it, like, the first half of the season was, you can't see this because it's an audio medium, but I am kissing my fingertips and going, mwah, mwah. The first half of the season, basically up through where Sandra got voted out, was amazing. And then the second half of the season, you know, it was kind of like, well, we know who's going to win. And it's just going to be playing out the string. So, overall, I'd put it somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty good. I think Officer Sarah played a really, really good game. And I think in terms of, watching to see a good player play a good game, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to be clear because I've said a couple times that she was boring. She totally deserved it. And you know what? If there's one thing I've learned, I'm happy to see somebody finally voting for the boring but competent woman over the blowhard jock. I'm very happy that we finally had some justice done. But that said, I would much rather have had, like, Suri or Michaela or Aubrey or... is there a tie?
I still never understood your huge boner for Aubrey. I think she's boring.
She's a librarian.
She didn't do a whole lot.
She's not really a librarian.
I'm with you.
She didn't do a whole lot in her first season either.
No, I mean, if we're just talking about this season, she didn't do a whole lot. She got a slightly better cut than Troy Zan.
No.
Yeah.
How dare you? First off, she won. Oh, shit. Troy Zan also won one.
And Troy Zan had an idol.
She broke a record.
That's fantastic.
Did she, though? Yeah. How do you know? Because it's edited. You have no idea how long it actually took her to do it.
No, I don't think
they took her 6 minutes.
Would have been happy to say that it was the shortest one.
I don't think they would fake that.
No, Jeff said that Cochran was 17, and then they said that hers was 6.
When did they say hers was 6?
Right after the challenge ended.
Yeah.
I fucking hear that.
Yeah, that's fine. It's
most crazy.
It's, no, I get you. It's easy to miss something like that, especially considering that was, 3 weeks ago, and you were at Book of Mormon or Anthrax or, I don't know, you were at something much, much more entertaining.
Yes,
so
I think that was NXT that time.
NXT, yeah, so, nah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I mean, look, I have a hard enough time. Andy was saying, oh, remember when Michelle won? I was like, not really, and that was just last season.
That last season?
Yes.
Season before that. Okay. I got it wrong. No, shit. Was it 2? It doesn't matter. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, we will see you guys next time. But until then, we're gonna climb into our sardine can together, and we're going to take that little key and roll it all the way up and seal ourselves and go to bed.
What? Why would there be a key in a sardine can?
Okay.
You never watch, like, old 1930s cartoons?
That's good. Do that.
It doesn't make any sense.
We're done. Goodbye. Next season.
No, we're done. Yeah, we'll see you for Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers.
All right, where I have to win again, because you both have won twice. So.
We can't do that. All right, yeah, for real, though. Have fun. I love you. Goodbye. I will always find you.
Of the Living Poop.